Alrighty, so time for the meat of the service. I am excited about the sermon this morning because I'm excited about Jesus. Jesus makes a preacher's life so easy because he is so wonderful and he is so amazing and he is so great. And even when I communicate him in a bad way, he is still bigger and stronger and greater than my ability to communicate. So I love speaking about Jesus. And this month we are looking at the four faces of Jesus. And what we're doing is we're going through the four gospels. The four gospels are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It is the four eyewitness accounts of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. So if you're not familiar with the Bible and you go read the four Gospels, it is essentially the same story told four times from four different perspectives. I remember when I did not understand the Bible, I would read it and I thought there was a bit of schizophrenia going on. I was like, is there an echo in here? You know, it was just like, I don't understand what's happening. So, and what we see is, and in each one of the Gospels, we see a different characteristic of Jesus. And the characteristics we see is we see Jesus as the king in the book of Matthew. He is the lion that cannot be silenced. Amen. We see Jesus in the book of Mark as the ox. He is the servant that comes alongside you and lifts up the weight that you could never lift yourself. Amen. We see Jesus in the book of Luke. He is the perfect man. He came and he identifies with our shortcomings and with our weaknesses so that we do not have a God that is far and distant, but we have a loving Father that we can go to in our time of need. Isn't it beautiful how the Son came to reveal the Father? Just such a beautiful thing. And then last but not least, the book of John is just an amazing book where we see Jesus as God. We see him as the eagle. So, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, you are here this morning for the best book in the entire Bible. It is the book of Mark. It's the gospel according to Mark. It is... the funny thing about this, about the Gospel of Mark is it's actually really sort of like my personality. It's sort of just a, you know, it's a go, 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 fine print details are sort of left to the wayside. My gifting is email. That's what I'm anointed in. So come with me to Mark chapter 10 verses 35 to 45. I do believe that this is the most awkward conversation recorded in scripture. This is the conversation that goes so wrong for these two guys, and I'm going to show it to you. I'll tell you this, the older I get, the more I'm starting to like awkwardness. I used to hate it when I was young. I kind of love awkward now. Just, you know, it's just awesome when you're in awkward situations. Just drink it up. Okay, so Mark 10, 35 to 45, 35 starts, and it says this, "Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. 'Teacher,' they said, 'we want you to do for us whatever we ask.'" love the start of this story. This is like me going to my wife, "Honey, now before you say anything, I want you to do whatever I ask." Okay, we know where this is going. So I love Jesus so much. This is what Jesus says. He says, "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. They replied, "Let one of us sit at your right hand and the other at your left in your glory." So, I mean, and this makes so much sense. I mean, the disciples are looking at Jesus at this point and the stock is rising. This is like Bitcoin, ladies and gentlemen. The stock is rising and they're like, "We need to get in here early because we can see where this is going." Jesus says this to them, "You do not know what you are asking," Jesus said. "Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with?" "We can," they answer. I love it. I love it. This is me. So by the way, I am these guys. Okay. Jesus said this to them, "You will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared." When the 10 heard about this, they came indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. I want you to point a finger at yourself this morning and say, I am you. Say it. I am you. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be a slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Unbelievable piece of scripture here where Jesus sort of breaks down what this life with God actually looks like. And what's so amazing about this scripture is these two disciples come into this conversation with the expectation of, we want to get in there early so that we can have lots of power. Jesus essentially says to them, you're not going to get there if you don't drink my cup. And what he was speaking about is suffering. He's essentially saying, if you're not willing to go through the suffering that I'm willing to go through, we can't even have this conversation. They then respond with, yeah, we're willing. We want to go through the suffering. He then says this. This is the worst conversation ever. He then says, you will go through suffering. But when it comes to power, I can't actually give you that. So these guys went from, we want power, to you're guaranteed suffering and no guarantee of power. Okay? So this was a bad time. This was a bad prayer time for these guys, right? But what I love in this piece of scripture is Jesus is essentially saying this. He says, look, here's the deal. You've got it completely backwards. You live in a world where when men have power and authority, they use that power and authority to essentially add to themselves. That is what you see. That is what you see around you. And when you guys approached me, you're essentially saying to me that your desire is for yourself to increase. You want power and authority so that you can increase your own power and authority. Jesus then turns around and he flips this whole thing on his head and he says, that is not what I am about. I am the most powerful human being that has ever walked on the face of the earth, but I have not come to be served, but I have come to serve. I have not come to increase myself, but I have come to decrease myself so that others' lives might be touched. And he then goes on to say this, that is my will. And that is my desire for you also. I want to say to you this morning that God's heart and God's desire for us is to live a life that is blessed abundantly. I believe this. I believe God's heart is for us to have an abundant life. Here's where this thing gets tricky. Your idea of what will produce an abundant life and God's idea of what will produce an abundant life are two different things. These two guys thought that an abundant life had to mean power and authority and more. Jesus comes and says, no. An abundant life is a selfless life that is given to others. Amen. That is the most abundant life you can live. I remember when I was about 19 years old, it's when I first became a Christian. And I went to the Lord one day and I said to him, Lord, please show me what a prosperous life looks like. Please just tell me, just show me what it is. I'm 19. I've got my whole life ahead of me. I want to live a prosperous life. And the Lord said to me, a prosperous life is a life where you pour yourself out for others. That is what prosperity looks like in the kingdom of God. It is us emptying ourselves and allowing God to fill up others. God has called us into a life of selfless service, not into a life of selfish ambition. And he doesn't do this to be spiteful. He does this because he loves us. Philippians 2 verses 1 to 11 says it a little bit differently, but kind of exactly the same. Listen to this. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being in one spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Whew. Okay. This is a tough scripture. I am the most selfish human being that's ever lived. Now listen to this. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Amen. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of others. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used in his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. Being made in human likeness and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the death, even the death of a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of our God the Father. I went a little further there than I had to, but man, scripture is just so beautiful. I just had to finish that thought. So what happens here is Paul is essentially saying two things to us. He is reestablishing this idea of Jesus came to the earth as the most powerful man that has ever lived. We're talking the same God who put the stars in the sky has now got a flesh human body, and he's walking around and he has got nothing but power. But what this power does is it puts him into a position where he humbles himself and he serves. I want to stop here for a minute and I say this to you. Only people that are truly secure in God have the ability to serve selflessly. Because let me say this to you, insecurity will do this to you. It will produce pride. Pride will put you into a position where you cannot serve selflessly. Because pride says, I've got to do everything I can to constantly lift myself up. Here comes Jesus, the most secure person in God in all of mankind's history. And the end result, the fruit of that, is a life where he humbles himself, he lays himself down, and he lives for others. Here's what's so amazing about this piece of scripture, though. It says that God then exalted him. I want to say this to you this morning. When you humble yourself, here's what you're doing. You're giving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords the opportunity to lift you up. And there's one of two ways we can do this thing. We can spend our whole lives trying to claw our way to the top, or we can go, I'm resting in the ability of the King to lift me to places where no one else could ever lift me to. It's this beautiful thing where we can just rest in his ability to do what he needs to do in our lives. So Paul goes on to say that same mindset that Jesus has, that one of serving one another, I want you to have that same mindset. I want you to live your life thinking, believing, feeling the same way Jesus did about others and putting yourself in a position where you can serve. So I want to make clear this morning that what we are given here is clear instructions of what it looks like to take on this Christian life. He loves you so much that he doesn't want to leave you in a life where all you're ever doing is fighting for yourself. He loves you too much to leave you there. So he says, hey, come with me, follow me, and I will show you true abundance. And true abundance is a life that is just lived for others. It's a life where we empty ourselves. So what I would like to do this morning is I'm going to look at five different things that we see in Jesus as the servant. There are five characteristics in Christ that we see in him as a servant, and they are absolutely beautiful. And my heart and my goal this morning is that as we look to who Jesus was as a servant, I'm trusting that we'll get a better idea of what the relationship is that God actually wants with us. But I believe that we'll also get into a place where God really starts to soften your heart and put you into a position where you can serve him the way he desires. So five things I want to look at. And the first one is, Jesus serves immediately. Jesus serves immediately. It's actually amazing that if you read the book of Mark, the word that is used the most is the word immediately. It comes up over and over and over again to the point where it's kind of funny to read. It's like you're watching the ESPN highlights reel of Jesus' life. You know, it's like immediately Jesus did this, and then immediately Jesus did this, and then immediately Jesus did this. All over the book, there's this emphasis on the fact that God is constantly on the move, and he doesn't waste too much time to get to what he needs to get to. The other word that we see in the Gospel of Mark a ton is the word "and." So we see the word immediately and we see the word "and." And the word "and," I'm not great with English, but as far as I know, it means a continuation. It means to continue on. So essentially what we see in Jesus is this. He is the servant that starts immediately and goes continuously, right? That is the way Jesus takes on his life. That is what we see in the Gospels. Everywhere he goes, sort of on his walk, people are constantly saying, Lord, if it is your will you heal me? Will you pray for me? Will you do this for me? And Jesus' response is almost always, yes, my will is to do what you're asking me to do. I want to say to you this morning that it's hard for us sometimes to see God in this view. I understand that because we understand God as powerful and we understand him as strong and we understand him as the king. But I want to say this to you this morning. Jesus is the ox. He is the servant that desires to come alongside you and to lift some of the stuff that you could never lift off of yourself. He is the servant that says, I love you so much that I want to come alongside you and I want to carry your burdens with you. I'm going to get into this in a little bit, but we all know the scripture where it speaks about my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And what that's speaking about is it's speaking about an ox, and an ox would normally have a yoke. It would typically be two oxes that would be yoked that would do the work. They would plow the field. They would do what no man could do. And Jesus essentially comes and he says, I am the ox you want to be yoked with, right? If you're going to be put in a position where you've got to plow a field, I've got news for you. Be yoked with me because you're going to have the easiest day of your life because I will plow what you cannot plow. What we see in the Gospel of Mark with all the language of immediately and end is we see a God that has the desire, the heart's desire to meet with us and to serve us and to love us. About a year ago, my wife and I were blessed enough to go on a cruise. We went on a cruise ship. It's something that I've heard about a lot. You know, moving to America, you got to go cruising. So we did. It was amazing. We got on the ship and it was all inclusive except nothing was included. So I learned that lesson too. It was a $5 million all-inclusive trip. Okay, so anyways. So we went, it was amazing, and we ate and we ran around and we did all this stuff. But here's the thing with Linda and myself. I'm not quite sure how we're still alive in this. We are not organizers. We are not planners. Linda and I are a little bit like those two drunk guys that stumble out of the bar at 2 o'clock in the morning. It's like, hey, we live somewhere, but we're not sure where. You know what I mean? So that's sort of how we tackle life, and we always have a good time, but very often we're not quite sure what's going on. So we're on this cruise ship, and man, there's food and there's all this stuff, but we keep on hearing about this restaurant on the ship where you eat like decent food, right? It's not just hamburgers and hot dog stuff. It is like steak. It is lobster. It is all this stuff. That's actually the reason why people go on cruises. And I don't know how Linda and I got to this conclusion, but we got to the conclusion that the only way you're allowed into the restaurant is you need to be dressed up in like a three-piece suit. I don't know how we came up with this, the two of us. We are very creative people. We come up with amazing stuff together. So we decided to not even bother to go to the restaurant. So we're doing our thing and we're on the cruise and we're just never going there. And finally the last night I say to Linda, I'm like, man, the hamburgers and hot dogs are great, but man, steak would be really neat, don't you think? Maybe we should try it. So we sort of approached, you know, this fancy restaurant, like the humble people that we are, you know, kind of hat in hand. And we were like, well, I don't have a tuxedo and she doesn't have a nightgown. Are we allowed in? Oh. Lord, please bring Zach back. Amen. Know what I'm saying? Okay, she had a... didn't have a pretty dress. Or she had a pretty dress. Okay, let's just move on from this. She had a very pretty dress. Okay, so we get there, we're like, hey, we wanna, can we eat? And the guy was just like, yeah, sure, come on down. Like, come on right in. I'm like, but we don't have fancy clothes. They're like, you don't need fancy clothes. And I'll tell you what, it was the funniest dinner ever. Everybody was laughing at us because we were telling the story. And eventually we had a whole bunch of servers around us just going, you know, the servers keep going, hey, Mike, you gotta hear this story. So we were the laughing stock because we finally had good food on the last night of the cruise. But here's what I wanna say to you. I absolutely fundamentally believe that so many of us approach God in that same way. We go, man, God, I feel like I need to be dressed in a certain way. I feel like I need to act in a certain way. I feel like I need to be at a certain level in my life before I can come to you, before I can cry out to you. I want to say this to you. He is absolutely at his best when you are at your weakest. It is when you are at your worst. He is saying, come to me. Even those that are naked, even those that have no clothes, come to me and I will clothe you. Come to me and I will feed you. That is the heart. That is the desire. Let us understand that that is God's heart for us. 1 Peter 5 verses 7 says this. This is such a beautiful scripture. It says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. I was actually in the hospital about to get surgery. I will tell you about the surgery probably another million times. But it was so cool. I was so nervous. I was just lying there and this nurse, which are, by the way, they are superheroes. I just want to tell you this. Nurses are superheroes in my mind. There's NBA and all these guys on this level. Then there's nurses on that level. They are superheroes in my mind. But anyway, so this lady comes in and she doesn't know me from a bar of soap. And she literally just grabs my hand and she goes, your face tells a story. You look very concerned. And she just goes, I want to say this to you, sweetheart. Cast your cares upon him because he cares for you. And I was like, bang, my God is alive. Jesus is the servant that is ready to help us whenever we are in need. And so, by the way, I want to stop you and say this quickly. You know what Jesus does very often when people ask for prayer? He forgives them of their sins. Do you know what that means? That means that Jesus prays for sinners. It means that Jesus prays for people that don't have it all together. But look at what this says. It says here that Jesus is the servant that is ready to serve whenever. And I want to say this to you this morning. Jesus' kind of service is not about your ability. It's about your availability. As we serve him, I want to say this to you. Some of us want to disqualify ourselves when it comes to going to him because we feel we're not dressed appropriately and we don't look appropriate. But I think the biggest thing I see in church is people want to disqualify themselves from serving him because we feel like we're just not qualified enough. I don't know the Bible enough. I don't know this enough. I don't know that enough. I want to encourage you this morning that Jesus' service is about making yourself available. That's what it's about. When we first moved to the United States, I got a job as an air conditioning maintenance assistant. There are no air conditioners in South Africa. So I was literally the worst air conditioning maintenance assistant the world has ever seen. I absolutely cost the company money hands down. Like I was breaking things, falling through ceilings. Just so you know, if you're ever up there, you walk on the bulks. You don't walk on the white fluffy clouds. Because if you step on the clouds, you're going down, right? I did that actually. My foot broke through and an old lady almost had a heart attack. So so finally the time comes for my review and the guy sits me down, the guy that's employed me, and I'm like, well, that's the end of that. Burger Flipper USA, here we come, or whatever else I'll get. And this guy sat me down and he said, I want to say two things. First of all, you're the worst air conditioning maintenance caddy guy the world has ever seen. I've seen dogs that do better at this than you. But second thing I want to say is you're the best employee I've ever employed in my life. Like your attitude, your willingness, your heart. He was like, you know what? I'm willing to lose money with you in the truck next to me because you inspire me to go to work. And I was just like, thank you God for your grace on my life. But I want to say this to you. It's about being available. It's about having a heart that says, man, I just want to be here. I just want to serve. And when we do that, I promise you God will do some great stuff. So just make yourself available to him. Second thing, Jesus serves harmoniously. Just so you know, I worked very hard to get all these points sounding pretty neat. So they sort of rhyme kind of. So it's just a cute thing that I'm excited about. But anyways, Mark 1, 9 to 13 says this, at the time Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan, just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my son, whom I love, With you I am well pleased, says God about Jesus. At once the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan, and was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. What we see in the life of Jesus is as he serves, he does not serve alone. Jesus does not serve alone. And I love this piece of scripture where we see two things. First of all, Jesus serves with the Father's approval. Second of all, Jesus serves with the Spirit's empowering. There's the Father's approval and there's the Spirit's empowering. I wanna tell you this morning. When you go out into the world and you put yourself into a position of service, and the two things you have going for you is the Father's approval because of Christ Jesus and the Spirit's empowering because of Christ Jesus, you become, ladies and gentlemen, dangerous. You become dangerous. You become a dangerous weapon in the hands of God. If you step out there, make yourself available with God's approval and the Spirit's empowering. I want to encourage you this morning that if you go out and make yourself available and you serve and you put yourself in positions where you're not quite sure how this is going to work out, I actually am going to tell you that you're going to see God move in ways that you've never seen him move before. There's an unbelievably powerful thing that starts to happen when you put yourself into impossible situations. I remember in South Africa so often we would go into areas and we would serve the poor and we would serve the needy. I cannot tell you how many times we would be in situations where we would have X amount of food for X amount of people, and then the same thing would always happen. Three times more people would show up than the actual food that we had. And at some point you just go, I don't know where this is going, but we're not going to turn people away. So let's say a quick prayer and let's keep on serving. I cannot tell you how many times we would have food left at the end of it. Okay. Happened all the time because God meets you right there in that place of your willingness to serve his people. And I know what you're thinking, man, that's a cool Africa story, but nothing like that ever happens in America. Well, let me tell you what happened to me on the beach. I was on the beach. I love the beach. This was about a year ago, and we were sort of swimming, and it was a bit of a rough, choppy day, and me and my girls were out there, and they had the goggles on, and they were pretending to be little fish, and it was just fantastic. And this guy comes into the ocean, and he has his sunglasses on, and they're nice sunglasses. And anybody that knows the ocean knows that the ocean eats sunglasses. It's a monster that loves sunglasses. And I'm watching this dude with these sunglasses, and I'm actually thinking to myself, his glasses are going to fall into the water. Okay, so he goes down, he plays with these kids, off come the glasses, gone are the glasses, and now he is scampering around trying to find his glasses. And the evil person that I am, I'm actually kind of enjoying this now. I'm like, this is kind of an entertainment moment for me on the beach. Finally, the compassion of the Lord hits me, and I say to my two girls with the goggles on, I'm like, hey ladies, why don't you pretend to be little fishes that are looking for this poor man's glasses? Go and find them. And they scurry and they swim, but it is choppy and it is murky and the tide is moving. And they come to me and they say, Dad, great idea. You're an ideas guy. We like that about you. But this is not going to work. So I kind of forget about it. The guy kind of gets out the beach. He goes and sits down. And I'm sort of just in the back of the ocean and I'm like, Lord, you know, it'd be really neat today. It'd be really cool if you brought me this guy's glasses. I think it'd be cool if you did that. And I'll tell you what, if you bring me his glasses, I will go to him and tell him that you brought me his glasses. How does that sound as a nice little deal? I want to tell you right now that people tell you prayer isn't dangerous. It is very, very dangerous, and you must be very careful what bargains you make with the Lord. So finally I start to walk out, and I'm about waist high walking out, and I'm walking, and I feel this thing in my toes, right? This is like miles away from where this dude was, and I can just feel it, and I kind of crunch my toes together like this. I've got unbelievable feet. I can pick stuff up. So I pick it up, and it's a pair of sunglasses, right? And I'm like, okay, this is pretty neat. So I call my kids and I'm like, hey, why don't you go to this guy and find out if these are in fact his sunglasses? The girls take it. They run over to him. They present him with the glasses. This dude is the happiest guy ever. Like, he's high-fiving. These are his expensive sunglasses. And it's great. So I go sit down on the beach. I'm like, good stuff, God. You and me, we did a good thing. And I actually felt God say, yeah, I did a good thing. You're part of the deal. Has not come yet. And so finally I'm like, why do I do this to myself? So I get up, and this guy, he's like a big guy. He looks like he can knock me out. So I get up, I walk over there. I'm like, excuse me, sir. I just want to tell you quickly. I want to tell you how I got your glasses, if you will. And at this point, he's looking at me like I'm running a cult, and I stole the glasses just to give it back to him. And I'm like, so here's what happened. God loves you so much that he changed the tide so that your glasses would come to my weird feet. And I want to tell you today that, that's how much he loves me. So here's what's so cool. So there were two ladies sitting right next to this guy, and they start going, hello, amen, hallelujah, come on, give me a witness, preacher, preacher, preacher. I'm like, man, it's happening right there. And the more they go, the more I'm like, yeah, hallelujah. Who else? And it was just this amazing moment where I could share the love of Jesus with this man right there on the beach. But I mean, when I tell you, the odds of me finding those glasses were like nothing. But when you put yourself in that position where you say, Lord, I see people the way you do. I see your heart for people. Use me to reach this person. You watch God do unbelievable things. I actually want to guarantee it. Next one that we see here, Jesus serves delightfully. Jesus serves delightfully. Zephaniah 3 verses 17, yes, that is in fact a book in the Bible, says this, the Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. And it's just this amazing, amazing piece of scripture where he delights in you. He loves you and he is delighted to serve you. I want to encourage you this morning that it's in those moments where we feel like there's nowhere else we can go. Not only do I want to tell you that God is available, but I want to tell you that God is delighted with you. He wants to come alongside you. He wants to lift you up. He wants to save you. He wants to help you. He is delighted by serving you. I cannot tell you how much I love my two moms, right? I've got two moms. I love both of them. And I'll tell you why I love them so much. They are delighted in serving me. they come to the house, and I'll tell you what my love language is. Here it is. There are six. Here's the sixth love language. Here it is. It's one sentence. Would you like a cup of coffee? Thank you, Lord. Like just the greatest sentence in the world. And they'll come, both moms, and they just want to make me coffee. That's all they want to do. And they're delighted to make me coffee. Now the other ladies in my house don't particularly like making me coffee. So when they come, there's just this joy in serving, and Jesus delights in you. He delights in serving you. I want to say to you this morning, don't feel embarrassed to go to him and allow him to do what he needs to do. In that same token, I want to say this to you. There is a joy that comes in serving. There is a joy that comes in serving that I don't believe we find anywhere else. There's an experience we have when we serve God in serving people that is unlike any other experience you will ever have in church. It's interesting that the Bible actually says things like, God is close to the brokenhearted. And then Jesus makes a statement. He says, you never visited me. You never clothed me. You never fed me. And they turn around and they say, but when did you need food? When were you naked? When were you in prison? And Jesus says, what you have done to the least of them is what you have done to me. I want to say to you this morning that God's presence is close to the brokenhearted and to the weak and to those that cannot fend for themselves. When you put yourself in that position where you are mingling with those people, where you are helping those people, you experience the presence of God in a way that you can never experience him simply sitting in a church. There is great joy, unbelievable joy that comes when we serve. I want to say this to you. There is joy in serving and there is frustration in consuming. There is joy in serving and there is frustration in consuming. If your faith is going to be made up of nothing but simply coming to church, here's what's going to happen. I guarantee it. You're going to get burnt out on religion and you're going to get to the place where everything about the church irritates you. Guaranteed. It has a lifespan. If you simply come because how many times can you see me before this gets old, right? So the reality is that there's got to be more to it than that. It's got to be deeper than that. It's got to be bigger than that. And I believe what it is Jesus says, follow me. But then he says, now I send you out. There is joy and there is power in the sending. Allow him to send you. Jesus serves intentionally. Number four, as Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? This is a weird piece of scripture. Listen to this. Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. No one is good except God alone. Wow. Interesting scripture. This guy comes to Jesus and said, you're the good teacher. And Jesus turns around and says, no one is good. Only God is good. And at first when you read it, you go, is Jesus saying that he is not good? And then you go, no, but Jesus was perfect. So that's not what he's saying. So this is really what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, I am God. He's saying to this guy, no one is good except God, and I'm perfect. I am him. So essentially what Jesus is saying, your title of good teacher is cute, but in a more appropriate title would have been God, right? So Jesus just does this cool thing in this moment. But here's the heart, I believe, of what Jesus is saying to this man. Everything Jesus did pointed back to the Father. It always points back to the Father. And I want to say this to you. I want to encourage you. As we serve people, as we do what we do, let's not just do deeds for the sake of doing deeds, but let's do everything we do with the intentionality of always pointing back to the Father. Yes. Let's pray for moments when questions are asked. Let's pray for moments where we can witness. It is God's word that changes people's lives. And I guarantee you that when we serve people, what happens is we open up the door and we earn the right. But it's in those moments when people then start to ask. And if you pray that to God that he gives you the opportunity, he will. And I want to encourage you that when that happens, let's point people back to the Father. Yes. Last thing we see in Jesus is Jesus serves unconditionally. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says this, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. And I want to say this to you. Paul would have not written, stand firm and continue to do what you're doing, if serving did not mean that there was going to be some pushback. If serving did not mean that it was going to be difficult. When I first started in ministry, my heart's desire was to help people. I just had this moment where I was like, man, I want to help people. And I know that the only way I can help people is I have to introduce them to God. That's all I knew. God, people. That's all I knew. But here's what happened to me. After a period of time, I got to the point where I was completely burnt out and I wanted to walk away from ministry completely, because at the age of about 25, I realized that I poured myself out in service to people, and what I got back very often in return was persecution, was no gratefulness, was no change, was no anything. And eventually what started happening was, is I started going to God saying, Lord, I don't want to do this anymore, because the results I'm trusting for is not looking the way they need to look. Jesus came to the earth, lived a perfect life of service, and the end result was crucifixion. I want to say this to you. Your serving is not blessed because of how it is received. Your serving is blessed because of how it is given. That's right? Our service is not in vain based upon the outcome. Our service is blessed because when God says serve, we are being obedient to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Yeah, yeah. And I want to encourage you this morning. Let us do everything we do as if unto the Lord. Yeah. There are going to be times where you're going to do everything you can for people and they will turn around and badmouth you. That's okay, because if God told you to help, that's what you do. There are times where people will do all kinds of things. They won't change. They won't come right. But that does not stop us from serving God and doing what he has called us to do. Because our service is not blessed based upon how it's received. It's blessed based upon how it is given. Stand with me this morning. I want you to close your eyes as I read a very powerful piece of scripture over your life. And we're speaking about Jesus, the servant, this morning. And we're teaching about what a life of servanthood looked like. But this morning, I'm going to right now change it up a little bit. And now I'm speaking to you directly. And this is Jesus speaking to you. Close your eyes. Forget about the person on your right and your left. This is the ox coming to you this morning. This is the great servant coming to you this morning. And he's speaking directly to you. And these are his words. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burnt out on religion? Says Jesus, the perfect servant. Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Father, this morning we come to you, the great servant, and we say, Lord, please come and lift some of this stuff off of us, Lord, that we could never lift off of ourselves, Father. I know this morning, Lord, that there are addictions that we cannot lift ourselves. There's anxiety that we cannot lift ourselves. There's illness that we cannot lift ourselves. There's all kinds of burdens in this room today that we cannot lift ourselves. But we ask Jesus that you will come as the servant, as the ox, as the powerful king, and come and lift these things right off of us. In Jesus' name, this morning, allow us, Lord, to find rest. Allow us, Lord, to find freedom. Come, Father, and lift the stuff off of us this morning. Right there where you are this morning, you start to thank him. Right now, don't look at me. Don't think about the person on your left or your right, but you start to praise him. You start to thank him this morning. Thank you, Lord. Cry out to him if you need to. Lord, come and lift this stuff right off of us this morning, Lord. Help us, Father. Thank you, Lord.